post-employment benefits, I give the floor to Akemi.
Yes?
Yes?
Okay.
Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. We would like to introduce our plan for the research on post-employment benefits. At this stage, we plan to publish a research paper to discuss a conceptually sound and robust measurement model and to provide information about the trend among pension plans to assess costs and benefits for such a model. We are not planning to publish a discussion paper to revise IS-19 because we need to assess the evidence that will be gathered during this research project. We think that the use of contribution-based promises or hybrid plans is becoming more common. This is because entities would like to reduce their exposure to pension risks, but it is not easy to switch to pure defined contribution plans because of regulations or to retain employees. As presented in the slide, the current measurement in IS-19 may have problems, but it has survived because of its current operationality. Comments on the 2008 discussion paper also implied that the new model would not be welcomed if it would be too costly or if it would not be feasible. We plan to survey past discussions and literature to consider a single measurement model for all pension plans. We do not think that the bright line approach would fundamentally solve the problems. When the Interpretation Committee discussed this issue on contribution-based promises, it was not able to set an appropriate scope for any exemptions from the current measurement in IS-19. This was because any such scope would have involved an arbitrary rule. We are interacting with our teams for the discount rate project, the insurance project, and the conceptual framework project. We hold meetings with specialists, for example, actuaries and accounting specialists. We know that some of you have conducted research on cash balance plan or conceptual issues or have experience in this area, so we would like to have communications or request your future assistance too. After our preliminary analysis on possible models, we will also communicate with other stakeholders, including investors and preparers. As I explained, we think that we should explore a single measurement model for pension plans because the past discussion at the interpretation committees showed the difficulty of trying to set an arbitrary rule. We would welcome your comments on this point. In addition, we will carefully assess if and when such a fundamental revision should be proposed. We are not sure whether or not it should be proposed in the near future. To assess this, we will gather statistics and other information to understand how common hybrid plans or programmatic plans under IS-19 are and how common they will become in the future. So we would appreciate if you would provide such information about your jurisdictions. Thank you.
In many jurisdictions, like including Japan, cash balance plans that index to stock price index is becoming prevalent. In addition to cash balance plan that index to bond yield. Having regard to such development, we support the ISB's initiative to a research project so as to respond to a scheme that has the hybrid nature of defined benefit plan and defined contribution plan. Yet, as we discussed with our constituent, we found that they strongly believe that some requirement of IS-19 should be amended, even traditional post-retirement benefit schemes. Therefore, we believe that carrying out the post-implementation review would be valuable, Thus, we encourage the ISV to be modified, to be mindful of separate roles between the research project and the post-implementation review, between the research, so that you know, the ISV can identify shortcomings of IS-19 relevant to traditional schemes. As for issues to consider in the course of a research project, we encourage the ISV to consider what would be an appropriate unit of account when measuring plan asset and the post retirement benefit obligation, because this has been identified one of the most significant and difficult issues. In addition, we believe that the ISB should carefully consider whether recycling of OCI is really unnecessary if the ISB continues to use the OCI when measuring plan retirement benefit assets and liabilities.
Lisa?
We would extremely welcome that to the project. We've been arguing for many years that cash balance plans and other plans are prevalent, and that refining the accounting for plans that were born in 1980 something or other doesn't get us anywhere. They're a running out model, and we can refine that, all that, but what is much more necessary is to find a good solution for the newer plans, and they are there, and we can hopefully give you some statistics. And people now fall back onto D9, which was never really finalized, and they try all sorts of crutches to find somehow a solution, and some of the phrasing is so cautious that you might consider doing this and you might do this. We think it's a burning issue. It's not going to be easy, and we haven't got a on-the-shelf solution for anything. However, and you might want to combine it with a post-implementation review, but however you call that, if you want to find out what plans are out there nowadays, if it's a post-implementation review or not, I don't care that much about that phrasing.
Could I ask a question just to clarify something from the beginning of your comments? Were you encouraging a focus prioritizing funding an approach for the cash balance plans rather than separate from perhaps a comprehensive review of 19? Are you saying that cash balance plans are the real problem, let's fund that? If that proves insights for other plans, nice, but let's not worry about putting them in context, or were you saying we need to do a comprehensive with cash balance plans particularly in mind?
I think you could do a comprehensive one, but that's our main sort of ruse or however you would call that. There are other bits and pieces as well, and it's a question how fundamental you would want to go, because of course there is hesitance, and there is the language in here that the current accounting is fine for some. Well, it might be fine for some, but then it's for those plans as they're still around. But for the other plans, we haven't got the solution, and therefore these plans would be the main focus. But if you find improvements along the line in other areas, and there are other areas like the discount rate and things like that, but we don't know yet what role the discount rate will play in the end.
So you say focus on the cash balance plans and then consider what impact that has for
on
other
plans that are obviously neither defined contribution nor defined benefit plans, where it's a squeeze to put them in either camp.
Roger?
I think we also welcome this review, but I think we'd be more on the comprehensive review of 19. And that's not to say that 19 hasn't been a very valuable standard. And I appreciate the lack of enthusiasm about going off it, because it has been fairly robust. And it's produced very useful information over the years. But it's been rather stress tested, I think, by a number of factors more recently. first of all, the very low interest rates, and also the volatility, at least in equity, you get by discounting the liabilities at very low rates, even though the assets affect implicit yields at higher rates. Secondly, the fact that some of these apparently eternal promises by employers seem to be able to be unlocked quite readily. And thirdly, I think the fact that the ISB has now invested a lot of time in insurance accounting, and perhaps we should look at the similarities between these sorts of promises and insurance promises, where actually the employer is giving a guarantee. Now, I think it's too complicated to suggest we go after insurance accounting for a guarantee, because you'd be telling everybody they need to be getting their stochastic liability calculators out. But I do think looking at the similarities between insurance accounting and pension accounting will be valuable. I think people have always been unhappy conceptually about this one-line consolidation of the pension fund, this sort of implicit net one-line consolidation. That's not actually an issue for the employer. And then finally, I think an issue that needs looking at is the fact that we're taking into account future salary inflation. And this is something I know Ian's not necessarily agreeing with me on. He's in another life, he's looked at this. But I personally think that we end up with the wrong performance statement if we're smoothing out future salary increases and promotions, when actually the decision to make that salary or promotion should trigger the pension expense in that year, not be smoothed over many years forwards and backwards. So I think, despite the fact IS 19 has worked very well, it's probably time to do a comprehensive review.
Just on the fact that I've looked at it before, Roger, that the FRC did a paper some years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago, so that, yes.
I think it was actually with Payne. I think it was with FRA.
Yes, that's true. But what it brought home to me is that if we open up this whole thing and start from scratch, it's going to be a huge project, because not just future salaries, but there's a discount rate to use. There's a whole bevy of very complicated questions to be answered. And I wouldn't defend IS 19 as having all the right answers. I agree with you, but it's working and it's there. And if we do this, if we don't just concentrate on the cash balance plans and whatnot, we're possibly going to turn the accounting on its head and come up with quite a different answer. And I just wonder whether we really want to do that.
I think that's the debate. But I don't think that I-19 can be put off forever. So perhaps a solution might be to have a shorter-term project on these cash balance plans, but a longer-term research project, because I think you could use this argument in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
And I think at some stage, particularly the volatility it's giving in the equity statement, and as Yuko says, the issues about OCI, recycling, non-recycling, there are a lot of issues buried in there, which at some stage they're going to have to be looked at. But we don't want it to take 10 years and hold up probably more urgent issues on the cash balance plan, so perhaps that is the right sequence.
Linda?
Thanks, Hans. We also would be supportive of some research here. We think that from a scoping perspective, you've got a couple of opportunities to check in with people to determine the scope, because you're going to do an agenda consultation next year. That doesn't mean you would you would go ahead and do the research. In Canada in particular, one of the things that's coming up now that we're having to deal with is what we're calling shared risk. So it's another hybrid plan, okay? And in particular, it's coming up in private sector plans, but it's really coming up in public sector plans in a big way. So one of the things that's happening for us is my counterpart in the public sector board is overseen by the same oversight council, and so we know that project from a public sector perspective is going to take high visibility. We're getting a lot of feedback and criticisms around the fact that our governments don't have a liability on their balance sheets. So we know that that's happening. So that's a particular concern in Canada, so we're going to be giving it some attention. The latest statistics that I have with regard to it do show that while the predominant plans in Canada are still defined benefit, they're going down every single year. and new hybrid plans, whether they're shared risk or not shared risk, are growing slowly, but they're growing every single year. So we would be supportive of something getting started in that vein, because it is becoming a challenge in terms of trying to shoehorn some of these new plans into the current guidance that we have. So again, we think that you've got an opportunity to ask people about the priority next year in the agenda consultation, but we don't think that should hold anything up.
I'm just intrigued, why wouldn't the government have a liability?
Hasn't been required under the standards so far. They have a liability, just doesn't happen to be on their balance.
But I mean, lots of other governments have that liability.
I know. So it's a big issue. So now what's happening is there's a lot of focus on it in Canada, which I think is a good thing.
Russ?
We have a lot of similar things to Canada and what Roger said. I mean, in the U.S., cash balance plans are increasing. Straight traditional defined benefit plans are decreasing. What is the predominant increase is defined contribution plans, but cash balance pension plans are increasing. We tried twice in the last 10 years to do a targeted improvement to cash balance plans. And most recently, we were unable to come up with what we thought were cost-effective solutions without thinking about how to improve pension accounting holistically. I don't know if the staff has shared our research with you. If they have not, I can arrange for them to do that, both in terms of statistics as well as what they considered would be potential solutions. But in the end, while I think the majority of the FASB felt that there is an improvement that could be made here, we felt that it should be done holistically rather than targeted, and we just didn't have the resources in reference to our other agenda priorities to do it at this time.
Yeah, Russ, just on that, when I was on FASAC some years ago, this seems like we've been talking about this issue for years. Actually, my advice then was to leave the old plans alone, just focus on cash balance,
mm-hmm.
because that's the end plan, you know, not just the U.S., but a lot of places. Having had that in the former life, I think it can be carved, separated, scoped out, and just, it's almost like its own thing. Just ignore what's in the EB plan accounting, the DC inertial accounting. Just pick the best that applies and do it. I think it can be scoped.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of saying it's not a perfect solution, but to reopen up all across the board defined benefit plan accounting, we're talking a decade or more.
The hard part about that is there are these hybrid plans
yeah.
that aren't pure defined benefit, aren't pure cash balance, that have attributes of both.
Trust me.
And you'll have to draw a line as to which one gets this, which one gets this.
No, you would. And it's the hard thing to be scoping what's in scope and say everything's out of scope. Not quite a clean sheet because you've got to work advancement. I think it can be done for the cash balancing or the cash balance hybrids. There's a different animal. I think it can be done. Chris?
Just to give some feedback, in Australia we seem to have dodged this bullet. So we seem to have just been closing down the DB plans and moving more to straight DC plans. So we would certainly be supportive of the two-stage process, doing the targeted thing, focusing on the cash balances to try and get that answer, but leaving the underlying IS 19 alone, and then doing a longer term project on where it should go ultimately.
But you don't need anything.
Sorry?
In for Australia, you don't need anything.
No, we're fine.
You guys are so radical.
Well, I can talk about current measurement if you like. Current cost measurement, if anyone wants me to.
Yeah, Chris told me the other day she they also got rid of participating contracts. Okay, well, we're going fast. Unless let's take a